So I would invite you, as we continue on in this series on the Beatitudes, to take out your teaching notes that you'll find there in the bulletin and write things down as you feel God is calling you to do so. You know, as I read the Beatitude we're looking at today, I realize that I have always been blessed with a good appetite. I love to eat. Did you know that yesterday was National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day? And guess what I had for breakfast? Well, no, Betsy wouldn't let me, but I did have ice cream later in the day, right? But I've never seen a dish or a cone that I couldn't lick. Sorry. You know, one of the great perks of being a pastor is the food. I learned this the very first week in ministry when I was in Emmonsville, just out of seminary, and I went to visit a woman who was homebound in our congregation. I called before I went, and when I called her, she said, Pastor, what kind of pie do you like to eat? And I told her, well, you know, apple pie is my favorite. So when I arrived at her house, there was an apple pie, a cherry pie, a happy hour of ice cream, a pot of coffee, and that afternoon for 2 hours, I sat and listened and kept filling my face with pie and ice cream, and I got home and I was not hungry for dinner that night. It was very sweet. You know, a lot of activities in ministry involve eating, and most of the time my appetite is probably better than it should be. But there have been those times when I've lost my appetite. If you've ever had the flu or a stomach virus, which I know some in our church have, you know what I mean. When your head is hurting and your stomach aches, even the sight of food can make you nauseous. And I've lost my appetite sometimes when somebody put something in front of me that just didn't look too appetizing. And I've lost my appetite during some difficult seasons in my life. When one of our kids was sick or hurting in some way, when a loved one had died. During a few particularly stressful times in my life, there were some days when I just felt like I could not stomach food. Now, thankfully, when I've lost my appetite, it's only been temporary. But for some people, the loss of appetite is a serious concern. When food does not appeal to you, it's a sign that something is wrong emotionally or physically. Often in the final days of life, for someone with a long-term illness, there is a loss of appetite. When you lose your desire for food, you're sick. And Jesus would remind us here that the same is true for us spiritually. When we lose our hunger and thirst for God, when we lose our appetite for worship, for prayer, for fellowship with other believers, when we lose our thirst for serving and giving, it is not well with our souls. As we continue on in this series on the keys to a blessed life, Jesus says that one of the great keys to happiness in your life is to stay spiritually hungry. Stay spiritually hungry. In Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now you'll notice that there are two words underlined in that verse, the word righteous and the word filled. The word filled, a lot of translations say, they will be fully satisfied. They're going to live a satisfied life. They will be filled, but you've got to hunger and thirst, Jesus says, for the right things in order to experience this fulfilled life. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness. Probably a word that you've heard. A big word in the Bible. It appears more than 500 times in the Old Testament. It appears more than 200 times in the New Testament. I looked up the word righteousness in my 6-volume Bible dictionary upstairs, and it takes 19 pages of small print to define the word. And I was going to read all 19 pages to you this morning. But let me just boil it down to 2 simple sentences. What righteousness is. Righteousness is about a relationship, and righteousness is about a lifestyle. It's about a relationship, and it's about a lifestyle. Righteousness is about a relationship. It's about being right with God. Being right with God. This past week, we launched a new small group study here at church called Alpha. Alpha is a 10-week course that looks at the big questions of life through the lens of the Christian faith. It was introduced more than 20 years ago by a British pastor named Nicky Gumbel. And Nicky had such a heart when he developed this program for reaching non-Christians, because when he was growing up, he was not even remotely interested in Christianity. His father was a non-practicing Jew. His mother never went to church. As a young person, Nicky was very bright. And he was such a skeptic that he would argue with his Christian friends about how naive they were to believe that stuff. Everything about it seemed dull and dreary to Nicky. He thought Christianity was boring. And he also thought it was irrelevant to his life. I mean, how could someone that lived 2,000 years ago and so far away have any relevance to his life today? Nicky looks back on that time and he realizes that through all those years, something was missing. He was always living for the next big thing, and then that next big thing would come around, and within a short time, he would still be bored, still be restless, still be unsatisfied. And he was always thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. Maybe you thought that. Maybe you're thinking that right now. You look at your life and all that you have, but still you're thinking, you know, there's just got to be more to life than this. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, had a simple prayer that's in our United Methodist hymnal here. The prayer is, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Your life is not about the acquisition of things. It's not about the achievement of goals. It's not about status or success, or any of those many other things the world promises will make you happy. Life is about a relationship with God. It's about getting to know the God who made you, the God who loves you, the God who went all the way to the cross to have a relationship with you. And until we understand that, we will never experience the fullness that Jesus promises. Righteousness is about a relationship. It's about being right with God. And righteousness is also about a lifestyle. It's about living right as God intends. Being right with God and living right as God intends go hand in hand. When Jesus came to the River Jordan to be baptized by John, John declared, "I must decrease so that he may increase." And what he was reminding us was that the greater the influence you give Jesus over your life, the more contentment you will find. When the influence of Jesus increases in your life, it changes how you look at yourself. It changes how you relate to others. It changes what you value, what your priorities are, what you do with your time, how you use use your talent. It changes how you make decisions. When the influence of Jesus increases in your life, you will find that true joy, that lasting peace that God desires for every one of us. Jesus says those who hunger and thirst to be right with God, and those who hunger and thirst to live right as God intends, will be satisfied, will be filled. One of the great keys to a blessed life, then, is to have a healthy spiritual appetite. So how do I stay spiritually hungry? How do I maintain that hunger and thirst for God, that hunger and thirst to live right as God intends? Well, let me share with you briefly three things that you can do to stay spiritually hungry. And here's the first. You can remind yourself of how much God loves you. Remind yourself of how much God loves you. When you get up in the morning, say, Lord, help me to remember today, whatever happens, how much you love me. We need to put ourselves in places. We need to surround ourselves with people. We need to develop habits that will remind us how much God loves us. Because the more we understand how much God loves us, the more in love we get to be with God. In Romans chapter 3, Paul declares how much God loves us. Let's read these few verses together. On the screen. God's righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who have faith in him. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of a ransom that was paid by Jesus Christ. We are loved, Paul says, not because of something we've done, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glorious life that God desires for us. But at the cross, Jesus took upon himself all of our sin, all of our suffering. Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, all who trust in him are forgiven, set free, offered this fullness of life. The more you and I understand how much God loves us, the more in love with God we become. And one of the greatest reminders for us of God's love in Jesus is here at the Lord's table. God's love is too great for words, far beyond anything we could even understand. And so in the church, we use these symbols of the bread and the cup to convey for us the love of God. As you receive the bread and the cup this morning, let God's love just fill you up. To stay hungry and thirsty for righteousness, we need to be aware of God's great, great love. Be reminded of it as much as we can. Now, the second key to maintaining your spiritual appetite is this. Stop filling up on spiritual junk food. Stop filling up on spiritual junk food. You know, more than once when I was growing up, I would get home from school and I was always hungry, it seemed, and so I'd go to the cupboard and grab a container of pretzels or chips or something else, and I'd be sitting on the sofa with my snack, and my mom would see me. Maybe some of you have heard the same thing. She would say, Dennis. Sometimes I hear that even now. Dennis, don't fill up on that. You'll spoil your supper. She didn't want me to be so full of the empty calories that I wouldn't be hungry for the real dinner that she was preparing. You know, parents want their kids to be healthy, to eat good food, and not just junk. And in the same way, God desires for you and me to fill our souls with the good spiritual food that He offers us. If I don't have a hunger for God, it's probably because I'm too full of something else. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and Super Bowl Sunday reminds me of all the things that Americans fill up on. Things that give us some momentary fun and happiness, but things that will not ultimately fulfill what we need. The other day, I saw that the average price for a ticket to the game today was over $10,000. Wow. Many of us will be glued to the TV sets all afternoon. I think the pregame show started at about 7 o'clock this morning. Commentators are already analyzing in great detail the players, the coaches, the offense, the defense, the fans, the host city, what they're wearing. On and on it goes. And some people that don't even like football will watch the Super Bowl because they love the commercials. Like this man watching the game and then gluing his wife in to when the commercials are about to come on. And there are some creative and funny ads. And every one of them attempts to convince us that if we buy the sponsor's product, we will find the happiness portrayed on the commercial. And maybe it will for a time. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah had a word from God for people who were so filled up with worldly things that they lost their hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Isaiah 55, we read this. Why do you spend your money on junk food? Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well, he says. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. What Isaiah said long ago, I think is true in America today. We are a nation of people with full stomachs. And yet so many of us are spiritually starving. We've lost our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Filling up with things that don't satisfy. God says, fill yourself only with the best. The Apostle Peter, writing to the first century church, said something much the same as Isaiah said long before him. He wrote, get rid of all ill will, all deceit, pretense, envy, and slander. Instead, like a newborn baby, desire the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Nourished by it, you will grow into salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. What a beautiful image the Apostle Peter gave us. Just as a mother provides nourishment for a newborn baby, so those who hunger and thirst for the pure milk of God's Word will grow into salvation. They will be filled. Once you've tasted the goodness of God, he says, nothing else will satisfy you. How do I keep my spiritual appetite? Well, I do it by remembering how much God loves me. And I do it by tasting of the goodness of the Lord and staying away from too much spiritual junk food. And then there is one final thing here. One more way to stay spiritually hungry. And that is to maintain a spirit of holy discontent. Holy discontent. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is not just about me having a happy and fulfilled life. Those who know the love of God, those who have tasted the goodness of God, are not satisfied with things as they are in the world today. They yearn for a better time. They yearn for a world in which the hungry are fed, the thirsty have clean water, the homeless have shelter, the shivering have clothes, the sick are cared for. They yearn for a world where children are welcomed and loved, and the lonely are visited. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness have a picture of the future as it can be and should be. And they are inspired to join with Jesus in his great mission of love in this world. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, this is something that we ask God for. We pray, bring your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. I wonder, what is it that brings holy discontent into your life? What is it in this broken world that when you see it, you are unsettled? Very likely, that feeling of dissatisfaction that you have reflects what it is that God is calling you to do something about. In one of his many books on the Christian life, Frederick Buechner wrote this: God calls you to the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Jesus calls you and me to be people with a healthy spiritual appetite, to hunger and thirst for God and for living the life, the abundant life that God intends for us. Remember how much God loves us. Stop eating so much junk food. And let God fill your heart and satisfy your soul so that as you live from day to day in this world, that place of your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger will meet. And you will join with Jesus, hungry for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. May God make us hungry and thirsty. Give us a healthy spiritual appetite. For then we behold the promise that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will